get over here!
Welcome back, everyone, to Master of the Universe podcast. Joey here with Gabe. I guess Gabe's just on the show now without asking, but he's always here now, so it's great. And, look who it is. Chris?
Yo. C-Money in the house, homeboy.
The recently married Christopher J's back on episode 46. Chris? How's the married life, man? Gabe's dying to know. He said he wanted to ask, but he wanted me to ask for him. It's kind of weird, but
oh yeah.
I mean, Gabe knows about it. You know about it too, but Gabe knows about it
too. Ooh.
It's going good. It's going. It's all good, man. It's all good, sweetie. What are you doing?
He's like, you just start hearing him snap. You just start snapping. Hey. This is like, I think the podcast is even better with her in the back, like just laughing at the stupid shit we're gonna say. I swear it's gonna be funny now. It's like, I gotta watch my tongue. Watch your tongue, boy. So
go ahead and throw some of the girls that we talk about in these horror movies. If we hear anything shatter in the background, we know what happened.
Yeah.
She's all, I had enough.
I had enough.
Around.
It is horror podcast trash. Fucking up your mind. All that shit. But, Gabe, dude, anything new with you, dude, before we get into Child's Play motherfucking 2?
Oh, man, one of my favorite franchises. Man, not much has been going on with me. Just
your TikTok.
Just the typical stuff going on. I will go ahead and let you know, there was one funny thing. If you haven't already known, on my Instagram... And on my Instagram, and I ended up announcing that I have a TikTok now, and I've been going ahead and doing these interesting horror facts, just these movies that I just love to watch and I enjoy, and I always end up finding up some cool little information. So I'll go ahead and just make these quick little TikToks to be like, hey guys, you know, interesting horror fact number whatever, and I'll go ahead and spout out a, you know, interesting fact about it, you know, just something pretty neat. Well, I did one recently on The Fly with Jeff Goldblum. So I did that one, and man, I've been getting the views up on there, and it's already hit like about 16,000 views, and it's up to 18,000 now. So get this. So I'm looking through it, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. You know, people like this stuff. That's pretty neat. And then I come across this one comment, and I'm like, oh, you know, leave it to someone to always go ahead and, you know, nitpick, or, you know, the internet's notorious for spell checking. The whole time I've been putting...
I know a guy.
Yeah, we all know that guy. Well, this guy decided to go ahead and comment.
He's on the podcast, by the way, but go ahead. Keep on going.
Well, they got me for it. Well, I've been putting interesting, but I've been misspelling it the whole damn time. And so I was like, well.
That's why you should have stuck to funny enough. No.
Well, I was going to respond to something like, you know, kind of sarcastic, or, you know, just to be a little asshole or whatever. But I decided to change my mind. I was like, no, I don't want to start fires yet. Let's go ahead and see how far I can get with this. I was like, oh, you caught me on my mistake. Ha, ha, ha. You know, but the whole damn time I've been putting, I misspelled interesting. I was like, how am I going to go ahead and spit horror facts and then I'm going to misspell interesting?
They're like, interesting, no, interesting, you know, horror facts. He can't spell.
I'm going to go ahead and call Chris's wife and tell her to go get pissed off for me.
Yeah. Go ahead and smash him with scissors. Attack his TikToks. Is that where you post? I know I've seen you post her like, oh, I got another interesting fact, but I don't know how to like, I don't know how you like make them all badass, the little videos and that are on the stories, but I don't do any of that. It's like, hey, you know, is you're going to get real, you know, bare bones, just me playing guitar or something. That's as much graphics as you're going to get, dude, you know?
Well, no, that's, man, that's pretty cool and all, but no, there's nothing, like, special. Like, I'm actually, like I said, I love all these horror movies. I have all these movies. There's probably, like, a couple that I don't have. You know, like, Seed of Chucky, it's a crap movie, so I don't have that one. So, but for all these other movies, like, you know, I put it on and I'm just there with my phone, I record it, and then there's like a little option that does voiceover, so I just, you know, just go ahead and just record my voice saying, hey guys, look at this, you know, there's something interesting about this damn movie, think you should know, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing special, but there you go.
Yeah, no, badass, man. I gotta get TikTok. Everyone's been talking about it, but I don't have one. But I mean, let me see. Maybe when you get to 100,000, dude, maybe that'll get me to budge, you know, and Chris.
There you go.
But so you didn't get to do Child's Play 1 with us, and we decided to do Child's Play 2. Yeah, no, I know. I actually watched Child's Play 1. Before I watched Child's Play 2, and then I watched 1, and then I watched Child's Play 2 again because I. That's how much free time I have, dude. Because I'm not married, and then I start winking at Chris, and I really like. I guess before we get into part two, we'll spend like a little bit of time to, you know, get your thoughts on part one, because I know you had said like one of your favorite horror movies, or like I know it's like you said Child's Play is one of your favorite franchises, but what, you know, tell us about your thoughts on Child's Play, you know, one, dude.
Oh, Child's Play one, that was my nightmares. Like, I kid you not, as a little kid, I watched this damn movie. I was thinking, like, oh, it's going to be, like, another horror movie, you know, just like watching, like, Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th and, you know, all these other ones. No. The whole idea of walking dolls is terrifying to me. You know, even though I'm an adult now, I still get creeped out about it, but I'm not as I'm not chicken shit like I was when I was younger. Yeah. No, I kid you not. This thing.
Somebody put a doll in Gabe's house and see how he reacts and shit.
No, well, close enough. I kid you not. So, you know, there I am, all young and everything. I've seen Chucky already, and that thing freaks me the hell out. My parents end up taking me to, like, a, you know, you got these little carnivals, you know, where you can win these, like, big-ass dolls. So I end up winning a huge-ass Leonardo Ninja Turtle freaking stuffed animal. And I'm like, oh.
No way.
Yeah, it was freaking huge. I mean, like, I kid you not, it's big as, like, an 8-year-old. So I'm, like, all enjoying this. I'm having a grand old time. I'm all sugared up and everything. We come home and, you know, parents are like, hey, man, we got things to do. You got to get ready for bed, you know, go and do all this stuff. Oh, all right. So I go ahead, get ready for bed, did everything I had to do. I put that damn Ninja Turtle in the corner of my room and turn off all the lights. I'm ready to go to bed. And then here I'm looking at it. And I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. I can't do this. So I grabbed it, picked it up, and I had to face him towards the wall. I didn't want that thing looking at me because it just reminded me of Chucky. I was thinking, like, you know, or Poltergeist, if you want, you know, the damn clown that comes out in Poltergeist. I could not stand the fact of this thing looking at me. So, yeah, I would go ahead and face. During the day, it was fine. Go ahead and turn it around and be like, yeah, you know, Ninja Turtle, that's cool.
But just seeing him, like, yeah, that big old motherfucker, yeah, at night, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, sitting there in the corner. But either way, Child's Play 1. It's a great movie. Like, I watch it a million times. Like, I still do, even today. You know, you were saying that we were going to go ahead and end up reviewing part two. And I was like, oh, yes, I got so excited because I love part two. It's so great. I met, you know, Andy Barclay. Well, the real person, not the character. So I met
Alex,
Andy Barclay.
Yeah,
I
Alex Vincent.
Alex
yeah.
Vincent went ahead and met Christina Ellis, the Kyle. I met her. Oh, man, they are great people. They're so nice. They're so, they're just, They're really like a very communicative. Like they like to communicate with their fans. They're really cool people, real down to earth. And man, it was just like such a treat just to go ahead and watch the movies and then getting to meet those actors from like your favorite movies. It's fantastic. So yeah, I've seen part two. I got super excited, but watching part one, it's so sad that I didn't get to review it with y'all. You know, I wish I could have, but you know, it is what it is. We'll go ahead and go on to part two. It's another one of my favorites. So, yeah, got me all hyped up.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to touch on it, like, you know, in the beginning here, just so you can, you know, kind of talk about it a little bit. Because, yeah, I mean, I put, like, okay, before I go into this film, I saw this one. I'll talk about it in a second. But when I put on part one, just to kind of get a feel of the differences, I was like, man, part one is so fucking suspenseful. Like, once you go from part two, which is like a slasher, fun, you know, good time and everything. But the first one, almost like, you know, the music is really like, you know, every time. And Chucky doesn't even do anything that you actually see him do shit till like probably like 40 minutes in or so. I didn't pay attention, but I kind of like knew it was quite a bit of time. And like just when they're at like Eddie Caputo or whatever's place, and like this just the whole suspense of like you know that guy turns around and you hear like little you know or you see the point of view of Chucky. I was like, wow, dude, I forgot how good this movie is, because I was like, part two is always like my favorite of the franchise, but after watching part one again, I was like, wow, like it's a real horror movie. So,
part one and part two were ahead of their time as far as like. However the fuck you want to say it, but computerized graphics make it, I mean, the impossibility of making a little fucking doll like that look so realistic, have the facials, you know, walk fast, all that stuff, it was amazing.
You know, I think one of the ideas for me personally that makes that movie really scary is the fact that the whole thing is like revolving around this little boy, and due to the fact that, you know, I'm at a young age, I feel like I can relate to that little boy. I'm like, oh, he's, you know, he's doing all the same shit I would do. Like, I wouldn't know how to handle it, and I'm trying to explain to adults, there's a freaking, my doll talks to me, and why aren't you all not believing this? Like, he's telling me to say or do things. And honestly, I kind of feel like I can relate to that, and I think that's what made it a little more scarier. Like you said, Joey, is that this character, you don't actually get to see actually do anything until like 40 minutes in, but just the idea that the trouble that this little boy is going through because of the doll is that's scary all in its own, because I feel I can relate to that. And I think I would be in the same boots.
No, I love the first one. Like, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll just give our ratings for the first one again. But for me, after rewatching it, it's like a 10 out of 10 for, like, horror movie-wise. Like, for me personally, just, like, as a movie, like, 9 out of 10. But I thought it was fabulous. And, like, I rewatched it because I wanted to get, like, the differences of the tones and shit. And, like, everything about that film is like really fucking good. Like the highlights for me, because I'm a dumbass, were like all the funny ass shit. It's like when Andy's mom's talking to him, and I forgot what's going on, but Andy's all like, Chuck, you know, no, but it was Chucky, and like he's like saying it like that, you know, and you're like, oh, like the way a little kid would really like 4 or 5 over old, he's supposed to be 6. Would tell you, no, it was Chucky. So you're just like, oh, whatever, right? But then he goes, and Chucky said that Aunt Maggie got what she deserved because she's a real bitch. I was like, holy. She goes, why would you say that? It wasn't me. It was Chucky. And I was like, can you imagine hearing that from, like, your child or somebody else's kids? And, you know, your aunt or your sister or whatever, like, you know, passes away, you tell him he was a real bitch, like, what? Like, you would be so, like, it finally gets her to stop, like, agreeing with, okay, so, all right, son, you know, Chucky said this, like, hey, what's wrong with you, you know, like, it finally gets her to, like, you know, shut the fuck up, you know, and I enjoyed that, I was like, man, you know, and this happens in part two, too, with other parts, but, y'all have any highlights of part one, Chris?
Oh, my God, I mean, just fucking everything. Like,
this drink's a highlight, I tell you that.
Yeah, no, I have I'm only on drink number one, but the thing is like, that one just, like, footprints on the fucking counter, and then the fucking, like, I love when he gets my, you fucking bitch, and he's like, this little doll is hitting this grown woman.
You stupid bitch, you wanna fuck with me? Chris, all angry. Throwing shit, throwing the, and the Mark, fuck you, Mark. Chris gets like that with Mark, but you have any highlights, yeah, dude?
I think my favorite part of that whole damn movie, like that there's so many damn scenes that are great, but one in particular, which is like so great, and it's just hard not to think about that movie, is the scene where he's all like, they're getting the gas started when he's in the fireplace, and Chucky's trapped in there. So Andy's like, he lights the match, and you know, Chucky ends up like, "Hey, I thought we were friends to the end, remember?"
Yeah.
He has that, you know, that last hero act where he's all, "This is the end, friend."
Yeah.
And then all that screaming from Chucky when he's on fire, I was like, wow, I was like, that is intense. It just, it's kind of like that whole, you know, the hero throws a bomb and he walks away while it explodes behind him. He doesn't even have to watch it blow up. I kind of felt it was like one of those moments in this movie.
It's that slow motion swag walk when it slow motions the impact of the fire going up and everything, but the dude's walking away.
Yes. Exactly, and that's, I felt that's how intense it was. It was just, that part will never go away for me. I love that part.
That you were like talking about that stuff, like, oh, you know, like the way like Chucky manipulates Andy, like, you know, like and he does it again in part two. He's like, oh, I was only playing, you know, like the whole time. Like, I love that they add that shit in there, because it's like, you know, Chucky, like, he thinks he can just have that power over Andy, dude, you know, just fucking saying, like, he can just like, oh, you know, I was just fooling, like at the end of what, Tombstone or whatever the fuck. there's a few things on there, but yeah, I love the way, you know, Chucky kind of just fucks with him, and it's scary as hell when Chucky goes to like that whole little, like, where he's in the psychiatrist like area locked up, and he's like goes home and Chucky's like going after him, and it's like that was a part that I laughed. He's like, just leave it, you know, when he's in the elevator, he's like, just leave it there, someone will come looking for it. He's like, that's an ugly doll. And he's like, fuck you. Like, doesn't Chucky kind of look like Chris, dude? Like, but when he gets more fucked up, not when he starts off. It's like when Chucky's had a, like, you know, Chucky's been on a bender and shit for a couple of days and shit, you know?
you know that?
The same hair, like, the same hair though, for sure.
It's funny how you're mentioning all the, like, about his looks, because like if you look at part one, how he starts off in the beginning as a doll, but then as he slowly, like, you can see like that transformation going on as it's like going through the damn, he's getting that receding hairline, you know, he's like he's looking a little more rough. And so, coming in part two, though, and one of the things that's always kind of confused me about, he's always been in a rush trying to get the main character, because the whole idea is that he doesn't want to be trapped in the damn doll. He wants to get out. But I'm actually kind of curious, what is the time frame on him being trapped? Because in part two, he actually, you know, he met that deadline. He knew he was getting close. In one scene, in part two, he started bleeding from the nose. And then later on, you end up finding out, he's all like, oh, I'm too late. You know, I took too long. You know, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Or pretty much, or he's more pissed off at the young boy. But I've always been curious about the time frame in that.
They don't know time frame. Yeah, they don't elaborate on that time frame, but yeah, like Chucky has this sense of urgency to get out into a real human body, preferably a young male, so he can relive the life experience. But you're exactly right. They don't explain, I've got this amount of time before this happens.
Because like it seemed like I don't know, in some movies it seemed like it only ran like maybe about a couple of days to maybe a week. In comparison to like some other ones, like Part 2, honestly, just seemed like it was probably like less than a whole week, probably.
For sure, less than a week. Yeah. Now that you're mentioning it, like, yeah, it's a good thing. It's like, what is the cutoff time for it? Because in the first one, like, I like how, like you're saying, like it actually, the actual tall looks different as the movie goes along to the end. You're like, wow, he's already all fucked up already. Compared to Part 2, they don't do that. I don't think they do that because it didn't look like he looked any different. As much as Part 1 did, to where he looked like pale towards the end, like human skin, you know, like towards the end of the film, it was pretty fucked up. So that's cool shit, and I didn't realize that. But the thing that always stood out to me in Part 1, it's funny, is just that knife. It was like a kid's knife or whatever, or like, I don't know what it just had, like I know it wasn't a kid's knife, but like, was it a voodoo knife, or you know the one I'm talking about?
Yes, it's supposed to be a voodoo knife John, the voodoo guy from Part 1, who trained him or taught him those dark mystic arts of Dambala. That knife was a ritual knife.
Dambala. Yeah.
I even had to go as far as to even look that up to see if, like, what was the deal, you know. Like all these magical words he kept saying, because if you notice that none of those words actually, I didn't know if those words supposed to be like the same thing he was supposed to repeat, but they never come out the same. Like every time he starts saying those words, and I was like, I think I don't know if there's like a actual words to this. So I started looking that stuff up too, and apparently Dambala is actually like a mystic god or something like that, like some kind of demon snake god or something, but there is no like actual words for it.
Oh,
like
so
as far as like as the script goes, I think they're just kind of like, go ahead and just start off this way and then just spout out whatever gibberish you want, just make it sound cool, you know. And I think that's what they were doing.
Saying the word Dewey before Dambala.
Dambala or Dambala.
Well, they say it different. Like in the first one, like, yeah, Chucky says Dambala, and then like you hear the little Dambala in the later ones. Like they say Dambala in the first ones, it's Dambala in the other ones. Like I've always noticed that, because it was very like it stood out to me once Tiffany said it in Bride of Chucky. And she's all like, Dambala. I'm like, that's not the fucking name, you know? And then I was like, oh, well, it's written that way. So that's probably why she's saying it like that. But, yeah, it's the way Brad Dourif said Dambala, then Dambala. Right. Yeah, so I was like, okay, so.
You know, and I don't know. But either way, I mean, I think as long as they get their – I don't know if they have to say those exact words. But later on, as they came out with the more – extra movies like Cult of Chucky, they came out with some real cheesy parts where like they found out, like, oh, I found out there was Voodoo for Dummies. So he ends up finding out that he ended up using Voodoo for Dummies. He was able to split his soul into multiple dolls, which I was like, I was pretty impressed. Like I love that idea, and that blew my mind. But at the same time, I didn't like how they executed where the whole Dambala thing was in, it was in a cheap-ass book called Voodoo for Dummies.
You're
So, yeah, that was part one. I wanted to touch up on it, like I said, just before we got into does anybody have a fan on?
No, not me.
Is it you?
No fan here.
Let me see. I don't know. I guess it's your mic, Chris. It sounded louder all of a sudden. Anyway, so 3, 2, 1. So let's go ahead and get into part two, man. Fucking released in 1990. So 2 years after Child's Play 1. I'm glad we got to touch up on that one because it was great. But this is one of the very few sequels, dude, that it's like different. But it's badass still. It's kind of like Terminator or Aliens come to mind, where it's not as suspenseful as the first one. It kind of does its own thing, but it's badass. But Chris, I'm gonna go with you because I know you've always been like a person that's been wanting to do Child's Play 2. When are we gonna do Child's Play 2? We did part one. When are we gonna do Child's Play 2?
Yep.
So tell us your history with part two. You're like, I'm on a podcast right now.
It's the same thing with part one. It's just a thing where, like, this was the one horror franchise I ever saw, like, in my later elementary and early middle school years, because, like, you know, as y'all know, I never saw any of the Freddy or any of the Jason shit or any of the Michael Myers shit. But this was on USA Network when you'd be home for spring break or when you'd be home for summer or whatever. And reliably, at some point in time during one of those seasons, they would show this during the day, or even at night. And I could pull off watching this shit, and I loved it. Like, this is horror. This is, like, what gets in your head. This is what makes you think, like, I got nervous about the fucking stuffed animals in my fucking bedroom because of this fucking movie. Like, they show the, I don't know if y'all remember this, that little toy they made, Mr. Bucket, where it's this bucket with two arms. And it spits out little plastic balls, and then you have to scoop them up, put them back in there before it spits out all of them. Mm-hmm. And, like, me and this guy I was friends with, his name was Mike Blue, one of those twins I was telling you about. And we were joking around, like, man, imagine that shit, like, fucking, like a horror movie, like that fucking Mr. Bucket, like, in the middle of the night goes in the kitchen, grabs a butcher knife, and stabs you while you're asleep, and I was like, oh, fuck. But this, I'm saying, this
something that spits balls out of his mouth, huh? It just seemed more perverted than it was scary.
You couldn't get away with that shit today with spitting balls out of your mouth. That type of innuendo shit. But back then, it was still early 90s. It was still kind of sort of wholesome. But but yeah, no, this was the kind of horror that, like, made me think and maybe like, fuck yeah, man, this is what I'm finally getting away with watching horror when my parents aren't around.
Yeah, dude. This is the one for me. When I first saw this, I was like, fucking, well, see, the thing is, like, when I saw, I saw all the covers. It was like, I've talked about how there are certain covers that that I knew to stay away from. You know, they were just too scary growing up. I was real young. And when I saw, like, Chucky, I was afraid of dolls, right? Like Gabe. But when, like, fucking Chucky was, like, the probably the reason, just looking at those fucking covers, like, seeing part three with him, like, bleeding from his mouth, part two when he's, like, about to chop off the Jack in the Box's head, and then the first one where he has that voodoo knife, and I was like, fuck all this shit, you know, I'm already afraid of fucking dolls, I'm not gonna watch this. So it was, like, a while, and I'm pretty sure I watched part two first, like you said, on TV when they would always show shit like that. I was like, oh, this is a Chucky movie. And it was funny kind of going back now, because, like, I remember the TV version so well that, like, I know all the parts that they cut out because I saw it so, because I think I recorded it probably, like, on VHS or something. And what was one of them? There was, like, he's like, bitch, I told you don't fuck with me, or something like that, when he's talking to, what's her name, Skyler? And, or Kyler? And, like, all these little things, like, they come, like, us, like, they completely edited the TV version back then. Like, it was so ridiculous to hear, like, what a foul mouth, you know, Chucky had, compared to, like he's, like, way worse than Freddy Krueger. Like, Freddy says bitch, like, once or twice in a film, where, like, that's, like, Chucky's go-to word, you stupid bitch.
You know, it's funny you say that, because, seeing the difference from watching, like, when I had rented it in comparison to watching it on television, there is a huge difference. Like, as you were mentioning this, like, some of the scenes where the big head corporate boss ends up talking to the I guess the lawyer guy, I guess the lawyer corporate guy in the beginning, the first kill in part two, they're all like, "Oh, sir," he ends up telling them, you know, "Hey, sir, what do you want me to do with the doll?" Well, the big corporate boss ends up telling him, "Shove him up your ass." But on the TV version, he'll say, I remember it was like, "Shove it up your nose."
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He'll say, "Shove it up your nose." Now, some scenes, though, I thought that was pretty cool. Like when Andy and Chucky are in the back of this newspaper van, this pickup truck. Like, it's like a big old van. And they're driving off. So that way Chucky can get that alone time so he can transfer his soul into Andy's body. Well, who's right behind him is Kyle. So she's driving right behind him and the door's open and they're sitting there in the back. Well, in the movie version, like in the, if you saw it in theaters or rented it, he ends up like, she's all honking at the damn driver to pull over. Chucky's like looking at her and he's like, picks up his hand and just flicks her off. So I was like, oh man, Man, this guy's a badass. You know, he don't care. He just flicks her off. In the TV version, though, he's just there and he's just looking at her. And I'm like, oh man, I felt I had a little bit of a different feel to it because he just looks like he's all sinister there. Yeah. But he's just.
That's the way they edited in the 90s, though. Like, I remember Fast Times at Ridgemont High when they showed that on a cable TV channel. They would, the part where he says, "You're a pussy, half wimp, half you're a wuss, half wimp, half pussy." Well, then in the TV version, in the TV channel version, you would say, "You're a wimp, half simp, half weakling." You know, it's like they would fucking fuck it all.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Yeah, and how dated this is too. Can I just say, like, when the corporate lawyer damage control guy under the CEO, he goes to the liquor store because he's seen too much shit. He goes to the fucking liquor store, he tries to pay with a gold American Express. Oh, we don't take credit cards here, pal. And it just shows, like, in 1990, credit cards were only for, like, big shit. But, like, by 1996, you can use a credit card anywhere.
Not here it ain't. Yeah. Yeah, I started laughing at that, too. I was like, that old Chris. You're like, "This is as good as cash." He's like, "Not here it ain't." You know, because Chris doesn't carry around money all the time, and Mark always carries around money. Like, "Are you nuts? What are you nuts?" You know, all that shit. But yeah, we have like a good cast too. I mean, Andy Barkley returns as Alex, or Alex Vince returns as Andy Barkley. We've got Brad Dourif again, as the voice of Chucky. I know you don't know who they are yet, Chris, but you're gonna love them. We got the girl that plays Joanne, the mom or the stepmom or the foster mom. She came out in a real famous movie. Maybe you've heard of it, American Werewolf in London. Hello.
I have heard
yep.
that.
Yeah, her, and then
nurse, right?
Yeah, she's the nurse. It was funny because I saw her in this first because I didn't watch that movie till like a little bit later. I saw her in this first, and I was like, whatever, like a whatever character to me. And then I saw American Werewolf in London, and I was like, man, this chick's hot, in that film, that's a Ray impression for those of you wondering why I do that. But anyway, I was like, man, she's hot in that American Werewolf in London. So it makes me like her more now when you see like other horror like actors, like when you see him like in a really good role and then you see him in another role, like I guess like the Invisible Man, and then you see him like play the werewolf man's or the wolfman's dad in like the Universal films, Universal Monsters. Got Phil. How's it hanging, Phil? He's what movie was he from that I knew him for way before? It was was it Used Cars? Yeah, it was Used Cars. I think we saw it, Chris, when he's like shooting the fucking cars. He's like, "That price is just too damn high." So yeah, like when I first saw this film, I was like, "Who the fuck? Like, why did they pick these people?" But like, now kind of having more filmography under my belt, I'm like, "Oh, these are really good choices, dude." So can we just say what kind of pieces of shit the foster parents play?
The mother was good. She was very caring. She clearly she could not have kids. She just wanted kids. But that dad, though, he was such an ass.
He was like the Chris of dads, right? He's like, this, it's today.
That's it.
You're paying my HBO.
No, the thing with them is like, yeah, it's like she's a mom who can't have kids, like Gabe said, she can't have kids, wants to raise somebody, wants to take care of somebody, raise somebody, whatever. And then the dad is like, you know, he's well off, whatever. He just is more than happy being a dink, you know, double income, no kids.
You know, that the dad, though, he was just very concerned. He wouldn't mind doing this because he clearly already adopted one, or he was trying to for her sake. When he adopted Kyle, and then his wife wanted another one, so that's why they went after Andy. And I don't think he minded adopting him. It was just more of the fact that he wanted to go ahead and adopt normal kids, not ones with problems. Like Kyle was already, she's already been through so many foster homes, you know. I think that was more of the mother's choice, and she already seen trouble. Now, they go with Andy. He even already expressed in the beginning, saying, are we even qualified to handle such a kid? Oh, well, he just needs love and care. And the dad was already concerned. He's like, I don't know. It seems like he's already having problems, and he might bring that stuff home. And, you know, I want to raise normal kids, someone I can play the baseball with, you know, throw around a football or something, you know, do all the normal dad things, not deal with someone that already went through traumatizing murder and mom's getting locked up for being crazy about killer dolls and all that.
I liked how they spoke on that. They're like, oh, the mom got locked up and the police weren't helping out and everything. I was like, well, that's fucked up. So they just put him in a foster home, you know?
Right.
But
I was reading about it that was supposed to be the original opening for part two, was that they were supposed to have there was supposed to be a court hearing about this whole situation, about how the cops are just, you know, keeping quiet, putting it under wraps, like no, we didn't see nothing. And the mom is full on believing, like, no, the damn doll is actually alive, you know, trying to convince them, and just makes her seem crazy. But for some odd reason, I'm not sure what it was, but they didn't go through with it. But they still ended up picking up that type of scene later on in the Curse of Chucky, though. They still ended up wanting to do that scene after all. But yeah, that was supposed to be the opening for part two, but that didn't take though.
Does anyone know why what's his name didn't show up? The cop, Jerry Dandridge from Fright Night. What's his name? Chris Sarandon.
Sarandon.
Yeah.
No, they just said that in the story, they just said that, you know, the cops are keeping it under wraps. They're just keeping it hush hush. As far as the actor himself, I'm not sure why he did not want to show up for the sequel.
Okay. Yeah, because when I saw part one, you kind of like forget. You just think about Chucky and, you know, and Alex Vincent or Andy. And then I was like, oh, I forgot Chris Sarandon's in this motherfucker. Like, he's over as a son of a bitch, and then the mom's gone. I kind of figured, like, I mean, she was really good. Like, the way she plays it, like, she's very believable in the first one. But, I mean, I'm fine with Kyle. I thought she's like that cool kid. Like, the old Christopher J when he got his second vehicle and he was the cool kid picking us up and shit. Right, Chris? Did I wink at Chris?
That's right. For the time it lasts.
With the hat backwards, smoking. I was laughing about the smoking cigarettes scene, dude. Because she's like, you know, Kyle, you know. And I'm like, you wouldn't smell someone smoking a cigarette in your fucking house. You know what I mean? Like, it takes you to open up the fucking door to like, oh, you're smoking a cigarette? I'm like, man, when someone lights a cigarette, it's like halfway through. Like, you're going to smell the fucking cigarettes. I was kind of like laughing at that bullshit. I was like, oh, man, like.
Kyle had a good style going on with her. She had that leather hat, like you said, it was all backwards. And it, for 90s, during that time, being a rebel teen, that whole kind of, that whole grunge era was kind of popping in at that moment.
This is pretty grunge, because this movie came out in November of 90.
Exactly. See, and I think that's when Alice in Chains and you had like other like little grungy bands coming out at that time with
Sonic Youth, Temple of the Dog.
There you go. And see that I think she fit like a good role. She was also not that it's horror, but she was very popular for the 90210 series. So she kind of had like a little she had like a whole little style and stuff like that for that era, and I think she fit very well for this movie, playing the good rebel teen anyways.
Yeah, no, for sure. Before I forget, because like not before I forget, but we'll jump to it now. When I put this movie on, like, the whole movie's pretty like badass, but I love the way it starts off. Like, it sets the tone with that one jackass that's like talking about the good guy doll, and there with I'm sure Gabe's done his homework. I hope he's done his homework, because I was like, I watched it a few times and I was kind of confused, because it's like he's there like trying to sell that, hey, we need to get on this good guy gimmick, and he's talking to his boss, and then that whole catastrophe where it ends up the good guy comes to life, or they're scraping off the, you know, the shit on the head. He's like, oh, we're not used to making them, you know, from scratch or whatever, manually. And he ends up getting killed, and he's like, oh, you know, clean this shit up, and as for everyone on the board or whatever, you know, we're done. But like, when we go fast forward to the end, like, they have the whole factory just like rebuilding a bunch of good guys. I'm like, did I miss something? I mean, are they not gonna make the good guys? Are they making the good guys? I mean, what was the whole point of the meeting if there were like, yeah, go ahead, dude. But I was confused.
No, I got you. Well, one of the ideas, like one of the tidbits that I was reading about this damn movie, was that this was supposed to take place during Christmas time. So the main reason for all the damn dolls is that they were getting ready for shipment, that, you know, spread out throughout the whole holiday time. It was just ever since like part one had happened, this is like already a good time jump. He's already like a little bit older. That CEO lawyer guy ended up explaining, saying, look, we went ahead and we got a hold of the cops are keeping hush hush. They're keeping quiet about this whole thing. We ended up getting a hold of the doll. You know, everyone's already kind of thought about it. We thought, you know, there was a rumor going around that maybe one of the workers said or did something to the recording tape of the doll. And so yeah. Then the big corporate boss is like, okay, well, my stomach's upset. How is this good news? You know, what's so great about that? Well, the good news is that we have the doll now, and we're fully inspected it, and we found nothing. There's no traces. Everyone's already forgot about the mom. No one really cares about what's going on with the little boy. It's all a thing of the past. We can, once we, I think he said something about, like, they're trying to get their licensing back, or they're trying to do something with the doll so that way they can put the product back on board now that everyone's already forgotten about the little tragedy. Now they can go ahead and start selling it again, because from the part one, that was their big market. That was their Transformers. That was their Ninja Turtles. That was their X-Men. That was the big product that all the kids wanted. And of course, you know, with that big factory all filled up again, it makes sense that if it would have been during Christmas time, they would have overloaded with all this. And if that whole deal would have went through, then shipment could have already went out, and they would have already started selling a whole bunch of it. But in this case, you know, that this is, you know, it is what it is. I mean, this that's how I can make sense of it.
Yeah,
I mean, they're just getting ready for a big shipment, because this toy, I mean, there's a good reason why they're wanting to come back, you know, to it. If this thing had a bad tragedy and it was just doing mediocre, they would have just left it alone. They would be like, eh, you know what? That whole deal is dead. You know, that toy market, we can't make any money from this. You know, forget it. But that company, what is it, Play Toys? They said, they're all like, no, we need to go back to that, because that was our big money maker. We, you know, that was our iPhone. You know, this thing made money. So we have the doll. We inspected
that
it.
That was their purse, good. Dude. Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, that's how I'm taking this whole thing, and why they have so much product, especially all in holding in their warehouse. because towards the end, these characters are running around and they're all lost in a maze of damn Chucky dolls all over the place.
In this film, or like little section, is the Miss Kettlewells. Miss Kettlewell, dude, when they're in the fucking school, I swear, I saw it two different times, like I told y'all, and I fucking laughed both times when, like, that whole scene is just like I love it, dude. When he's like, he goes to school, right, and you got this fucking teacher just like, oh, you know, I'm a real boy. I think she's reading Pinocchio or something, right? Or some shit. And the kid behind Andy, like, flicks his ear, and he's all like, take a hike, microchip, or some stupid shit like that. And she's all like, you know, Andy, you know, like, something you want. I don't know what the fuck she says, but it's just like, why wouldn't you, like, you know, acknowledge this kid that's like, he's a new kid? Like, you think he's just yelling out, hey, you know, what are you doing, you know? And she's all like, you would think you try to be getting on my good side, you know, all this bullshit. And I'm like, I already hate this bitch. And I started laughing because, like, right before that scene, you see Chucky going like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? You're like, what are we doing? He's like, ah. And then she's going through the papers and you're like, oh, that's what Chucky was doing. And you see, fuck you, bitch. Oh my god, I saw that writing. Like, it's funny because her reaction is that she sees it and she looks up and you just see like the name, it's like Andy B, and like it's just fucking I just fucking laughed. Oh, I saw it two different times and my reaction for both times was like a slow laugh. You know,
it was very hilarious. I love that. He's just big ass crayon.
Yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah, like I don't even know.
And
what...
he's all playing with the basketball ball outside. He's all having fun, and this one's writing shit on the damn his paper.
Yeah, it's like I forgot what the paper said. It was like color in the firefighter's hat, and then you know which one is this or whatever. It's like fuck you, bitch. Was fucking laughing. Chris, you still there, pal? You working like a some bitch or what's going on?
No, man, I mean, like, you guys are kind of just doing it, so.
He's like, y'all gotta take it care of. I mean, I watched it. I mean, I know it.
No, I don't want to interrupt, so, okay. I mean, no, the thing is, like, yeah, it's the fucking, it's the worst of both worlds because on the one hand, you've got It's like the Bugs Bunny cartoons or like the Bobby's World cartoons where like there's a heel. It's a different kind of heel. It's just the heel that's manipulating it where you're getting in trouble for things you didn't do. And then on the other hand, you've also got the element of horror, supernatural horror in this fucking little doll. But he's also got the ability to like hide and make it look like you're the one doing shithead things. Like it's just heat all around.
It's just heat all around, huh? Okay, I'm not going to tell you Chucky's in the fireplace again, but okay.
I mean, for this damn doll being such a, it's not even so much the doll itself. It's remember, this is Charles Lee Ray. He's a psychopathic killer, you know, trapped inside the doll. So this doll has like the mentality. He's supposed to be like just flat out crazy. He's like nuts. He's like killing. He's killing people. He knows voodoo. I mean, seriously. And then for him to, it's just crazy, like how he can manipulate. Like how Chris is saying, he's able to sneak around. He's doing all this.
Yeah.
Usually, I don't think like a psychopathic killer can maneuver around that well. But that it just seems a little. It seems like he should be making some type of mistakes somewhere along the line where he would be caught.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially like in the teacher scene, the damn teacher just is ridiculous because it pisses me off because I think we've all had that damn teacher who was just a plain out ass. And well, I think Chucky did Andy right by just killing her ass off.
He's like, you've been very naughty, Miss Kettlewell. He's got a ruler.
I love that fucking voice of Chucky, too. It's like he's got the Bears fans. Switching to Geico can save you hundreds of dollars on car insurance. Is that a top engraver?
I love his laugh, dude. Like, the whole, like, Chucky wouldn't be Chucky without Brad Dourif's, like, over-ass voice. And it's funny because that's just the way he is, though. Like, when you hear, like, and some actors, are, you know, or voices, like those are the best ones, you know. Like, and, like, I noticed it when you watch the beginning of part one. He's all like, I'm going to get you, and Eddie, no matter what. You know, he's, like, doing his, like, Chucky voice and yelling. And I was like, that's Chucky, like, the angriest motherfucker, and he's got that same tone. He doesn't really have to manipulate his voice. That's just how he talks when he's, like, you know, throwing more gimmicks out there. And that's, like, in his laugh too, he's like, whatever the fuck, you know. And I was like, man, this is, like, that's what makes it so entertaining, you know, like his tone and everything. Just him, like, when he gets Phil, and Phil's like, I was laughing at that part where Andy's like got that, like, what is it? It's like a turkey cutter, but it's like an electric knife.
An electric knife. We had that shit for every year for Thanksgiving. That's how we carved our turkey.
Yeah, and Phil's like, okay, just put the knife down. He's all like, but Chucky, put the knife down. And he's like, you know, and then he gets hooked and he goes, how's it hanging, Phil? But it's just like perfect, like where he knows how to, like, oversell, just play it straight, just whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, that's what makes, like, these films so good is Brad Dourif, man. It's, like, amazing.
He's even better than Freddy. Like, Freddy has some good one-liners for when he's about to kill somebody, but this guy's even, he's just more laid back. Like, he's not trying. Like Freddy's good, but he's trying. Like, this Brad Dourif, this Chucky, is just even better.
Yeah, Brad's, he might be the best voice for any character. I don't know. It's hard to say because, I mean, Freddy's got a few of them, but, I mean, consistently, you know, yeah. Chucky gets his ass over. Do you have any dog? You have any horse in the race there, Gabe? With the Freddy?
I think you guys are right. Brad Dourif is just a character all on his own. And, well, with Freddy, Freddy has like a good couple of one-liners. It just this is more so. He's all, I think, like Freddy versus Jason. You know, not going for the older stuff, but that Freddy versus Jason, he had like a cool one-liner where he goes like, you know, time to put this bad dog to sleep, and he's like kicking ass with Jason. You know, he's whooping his butt. Brad Dourif, though, he definitely has like some good, you know, he has some good little liners here and there. You know, nothing that really comes to mind. It's just more so like it's just the way he acts and the way he talks. It's just so.
Yeah, it's not just a line, it's just the whole performance, right? It's not like, oh, well, because Freddy, I mean, like, whenever Freddy says something, it's memorable, you know, welcome to primetime, bitch, like you said, there's like that thing, right. You know, like, you know, you think about bitch, you say, well, you stupid bitch, you stupid fuck, y'all teach you to fuck with me, it's not really like, you can't really, like, do that performance, you know, the
it's
same way that Freddy is.
All emotion.
Yeah, and like, that's the thing with all of Chucky's things. Like, you know, we have, you know, jumping ahead, like, when he like, in the beginning of part three, he's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I'm from Rhode Island. You know, he's like, you know, doing that gimmick. And it's like, it's just like.
That's not Rhode Island. That's Chicago, Detroit, Wisconsin.
Okay, the thing now, talk about the movie then. Talk about the movie when you're doing comparisons, but you're not talking about the movie, dude. Talking about me.
No, say, and then I'm just.
Chris has been talking about grunge. He's been talking about, you know, Chicago, but he hasn't been like, oh, this part or this part of this movie. He's like, ah, that's from Chicago. That's all, well, I remember.
Doesn't it
take place in Chicago? The film.
Yes.
Okay.
But the thing that sticks out to me is there's so many opportunities in this movie where someone should have just fucking burned fucking Chucky, and they don't. They just he's always getting thrown to another place where he can come right back and just start causing fucking havoc again. And like if this dad is as strict as he's, and I remember like dads that were like this guy, so strict back in like the late 80s, early 90s. Like
I know a guy.
Yeah, and it's just like you should have fucking burned him or thrown him in a dumpster where like it would be really hard for him to get back. And they don't. They just throw him in the fucking basement. And there's all these things. Where well,
I kind of feel like that. Like for I'm not sure if this is like the right answer for that. But if you look at the type of neighborhood, I've known people too that were like that. If there was a problem with something, their idea is to break it down, burn it, trash it. You know, do. Throw it in the throw it under the damn lawnmower. Cut it up just to show like I'm so much of a badass. I'm gonna shoot it. You know they'll bring out their gun or something.
Yeah.
But honestly, like look at they're in Chicago. Look at the neighborhood they're living in. It's such a cookie cutter, typical you know suburban neighborhood. These kids all look like they're generic. You know, generic like hey. Neighbor, you know, that's all cut our lawn at the same time. You know, it's so generic, and the only off things about this whole thing in that area is just Kyle and that boy. The fact that they're adopted, and they even have their own little school bully. Like you know, it's if you look at all the little kids, I mean, they're all cookie cutter kids.
I didn't see one black kid in this motherfucking movie. That's all I gotta
damn
say.
Damn straight.
I'm gonna come out and fucking that say it. Yeah. There wasn't one shootout unless Chucky was involved. I'm not buying it.
Well, no, but that's the thing. Like it was saying, is this is suburbia Chicago. This isn't even inner city Chicago where you're taking the L train and all that shit. No, this is like the suburbs, outer, away from the city. And it's these upper middle class, maybe upper income people, and the fucking antique artifacts and all this shit that can't get broken, all this shit. And it's like, this poor fucking kid, your heart's going up this whole time because he's getting blamed for all these antiques getting broken. He's getting his ear flicked by the dumbass dipshit kid sitting behind him. His bitch teacher is like just breaking his balls for everything. And
her name is Miss Kettlewell, so you better get it straight, son.
And meanwhile, he's being haunted by this fucking doll that he thought he got away from that's infused with the spirit of a dead guy who practices fucking voodoo. And what the fuck kind of white trash fucking Sebastian Bach, John Waite looking motherfucker from Chicago practices African voodoo? I want to know that.
Well, this guy was already like a...
What's Chicago? I guess that's the only black guy and he's a voodoo guy.
I mean, that was probably his drug dealer at one point, and just, I don't know, they knew a guy.
I didn't think about that. Like, that's the black guy that shows up, right? It's like the
voodoo
man.
Oh, that's right. In part one, he was friends with that Jamaican guy that, like, sold him the drugs, right?
Yeah.
I guess so,
I guess he was selling him drugs or something, but...
Chris right away is, like, painting him as the bad guy, you know? He's a drug dealer. He's black.
There was a black Jamaican or African guy in part one that, like, he had known or some shit, right?
No, that was just the guy that taught him voodoo. He's all like, that's what John. He's like, hey, John. Hi. It's me, Chucky. And he's all like, what do you think? He's all like, you've done everything I taught you. But Chris, like, he sells drugs. He's like, right. He's a voodoo guy. That was my thing. That was my thing. I was like, well, yeah, there is one black guy, but he's the only voodoo guy. Chris, like, the drug dealer, right? He's like, well, they're trashing him. Fucking.
Well, I mean, I guess you could. Well, I don't know if they're drug dealers, but what was it? Eddie Caputo.
Yeah.
Right? That was his buddy and their little three ring circus people. They, I don't know, I guess they knew. And later on in the movies, I think in Cult of Chucky or Curse of Chucky, it's in Curse of Chucky. They start giving a little more background, but they don't explain how he meets up with John or why. They just show that he's related to, or he knows like certain people in certain areas, but he doesn't really say like why he starts getting into the whole mysticism, voodoo stuff. I'm just assuming maybe he was a Chicago drug dealer.
I'd like an explanation on that because, like, yeah, I'll be honest with you. I've only seen through part three, and that's it. Like, anything after part three, I have not seen other than that stupid-ass 2017 Netflix thing that they made, and that's it.
Mm. Yeah, on part three, they don't give any more background. It's more what makes it, this movie part two really great is just we got the whole mystery trying to figure out like, oh, what is Chucky gonna look like moving around? And finally, you know, we start seeing how crazy he is, like already halfway or almost towards the end of the movie. Part two, we're already,
yeah,
our minds were already blown that he's walking around. So yeah. Part two is just like, hey, you know, why don't we just jump into it? No more mystery. Let's just have the damn doll walk around already. So we'll just continue the chase because that's all he really wants now. It's just the only person that knows his secret is Andy. He wants to be him. Well, now he's like an 8-year-old kid again. Yeah. So now they're just kind of jumping into that. At this point, they don't really care about his history. They just care about the fact that, you know, this is the chase. We're doing it. You know, is he going to get him? Yes or no? I think one of the things that kind of, a little tidbit that bothered me, if you all noticed, like, in the beginning, remember they were shaving him down and they were putting him back together?
Yeah.
They put him back together. He comes back alive. He's walking. He comes back alive. All of a sudden, he's alive again. So it seems like if he gets torn apart, if you put him back together, he should just be able to come back alive again. You know, maybe a little electricity or something. But if you notice on Bride of Chucky...
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris, you know, spoiler alert, you know. But they put him back together again, but he doesn't come alive. They end up using some kind of voodoo spell just to bring him back to life. He doesn't come back alive just by sewing him back together, which...
Yeah. And not of his own power, like, he is reliant on other forces to revive him.
Right, and so I think just the electricity.
It's like Frankenstein and shit, yeah.
Yeah, he's a little Frankenstein, you know, character, you know, just running around. But he, man, he's crafty, some bitch.
Can I say something, too? Like, I just... One thing I noticed, and I noticed this a couple nights ago when I was rewatching it, like, I don't get why Chucky is so, like, watching and, like, paranoid about, like, where he buries the other doll under that swing, and he's watching that, and he's so worried about that. Now, when Kyle throws the real Chucky in the trash, I get that you'd be mad that you got thrown in the trash, but he yeah. really seems to bother him that... that people could find out about this other doll buried in the ground under the swing.
You don't know why he was worried about that?
Explain to me.
Well, if there's two fucking Chucky dolls, where did the other one come from?
No, I know, but here he's mad about it again, and both the parents are already dead, so why is he worried about it after the parents are dead?
He didn't want Kyle to find out. He didn't want Kyle to find out, because that's just...
Yeah.
Because if she knew that there was two damn dolls in the damn house, and she found out about it, the more people that know about him or know that there's kind of trouble, you know, it's just more stipulations coming in his way to where it's just making it that much harder to get to Andy. Everyone that he's been coming across, he's been having to kill just so he can get to Andy, so he's going to be like, oh, okay, there's no more issues. Because remember, he had Andy tied up, but then who got in the way? You know, Kyle got in the way, but luckily she didn't know anything about it. But now it's starting to raise a lot of stipulation. He's starting to see that there was a lot of problems with the foster parents. He couldn't quite get around them. He either grounded them or they were constantly around, always checking up on him. He had no choice. He had to off them off, just kill them all off. And, you know, same thing. He thought, like, okay, they took Andy away. All he has to do is just get to Andy. But at this point, you know, with Kyle, you know, there, if she ended up finding out that, you know, she ended up finding out that there was another damn doll, now she's, like, starting to be suspicious. And now he's like, oh, God dang it. Now I got to deal with somebody else to get in my way. And so what happens, she found out, and sure enough, She goes ahead and she's walking around the damn house with a knife. And here's Chuggy. He's like, okay, well, I have no choice. I'm going to have to kill her, too. He just has, like, this obsession where, like, little stipulations that get in his way, he has to kill them.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that, except, like, to me, and I get that, like, you want to deal with as little as possible, but to me, it's only an issue when the foster parents are in the picture. Once they're both gone, like, what are you worried about Kyle for? She's nobody. You can control her the same as you control any.
No way. Kyle's, like, 17. What the fuck?
Well, he did control her, though. He got her in the car, got her driving around, got her doing everything.
Well, because that's when he, like, had to jump on her with a fucking knife to her throat. Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty crafty with that. I get what Chris is saying, though. Chris is saying, like, you know, a young girl like that shouldn't, you know, she's a teenager, she's a rebel, she should be out, sneaking out the window again, you know, without having to worry about the parents. But at this point, you know, when she found out about the second doll,
she goes back in the house, right?
Yeah, she goes back to the house, and that's pretty much sticking her nose in the business of Chuggy, where she shouldn't be doing. She should be.
Well, I mean, on the opposite end of that, what's she gonna? Hey, there's a doll killing people, and then like, you know. Like, yeah, the smart thing, I mean, you know, what I would have done would be like, fuck all this, but where is she going to go? She's a foster, kid. She's got, you know, a troubled past. A, you know, my foster brother just got taken away because the dad's dead, you know, because of the fucking doll. But I'm over here. I threw a doll in the trash can. Now he's got, like, I mean, what sense does that make, too, you know? What choice does she have at that point other than to, you know, go in there and see what's going on? And she doesn't know that Joanne, you know, Chuckie already went after her. So it's like, well, yeah, I mean, Chuckie should be worried because he doesn't want fucking her to, you know, call him out. At the same time, she, you know, like it's a bad situation for everyone, you know. So,
you know, I think it was kind of a good thing that she did stick her nose in his business, because if you think about the kind of route that what would have happened if she would have just ignored it and say Chuckie said, like, okay, I already killed the parents, I'm not going to do anything else. That's it. I'm just going to leave and just go straight after Andy. You know, and say, you know, didn't she say she had a boyfriend or she had a date? I mean, she could have been talking with her boyfriend something.
Yeah, she did. Goofing
her off with him or something, and until finally the murders come about, then she goes ahead and calls the police. It would have left her in a bad situation due to the fact that you were the only one there with the parents. You know, the parents are dead, so that would have left her in a bad situation. It would have made it look like she.
Because she's sick. Killed him. Yeah, because I mean, like, well, you're going off of somebody's word, and you got two dead bodies there. You know, so it's like okay.
And therein, I think you pinpointed, therein lies the problem, is okay, if his whole thing is he wants as little impediment as possible, go directly to Andy and just always be fucking with him and getting him to do what you want to do, and Kyle could be in the way, but the thing is, the movie didn't make you feel like he was so close to offing Kyle and then going directly to Andy again and fucking with him again. Like, it should have left you more at a precipice moment, where he's so close, and then there's just that little thing she does that keeps her alive, and then she can just be in the car with him. But, like, I don't feel like it got to that. Like she fights him off, but then they get in the car, and they're driving, and he makes her speed and stuff like that, and the cops pull her over, and the cops give her a warning, let her go. Like, it didn't feel like that precipice, like, barely survives kind of moment.
I think at this point, the whole point of the movie, it's just about the chase after Andy, but not to make it seem so dull, because since the beginning, the doll's already alive and walking around, you know, so there's no mystery throughout the whole movie anymore. It's just We want to see Chucky do stuff now. So the movie now is just, you know, you got to throw some kills in there. You got to add some excitement. There is no, last minute stretch like they did with Kyle, like you said, was speeding. She had a chance to get away, but she attempted to try to take care of him, like ramming him with the car and like, okay, I think I got him. But then they get back in the same situation, didn't really go anywhere. It's just, I kind of feel they just wanted to add a little more excitement. Adding those deaths, like Phil and Joanne, the foster parents, I think those were just extra kills. Same thing with the head foster mother, I guess, of the foster home. Same thing when they killed her and they threw her ass on the photocopier, you know, and she gets stabbed and everything. So I think these are just extra kills just to kind of, it's a horror movie. We need to see some killing from this doll, you know, not just blaming and pointing fingers throughout the whole thing and chasing. I mean, yeah, the chasing is cool and all, but I think we need a little bit of excitement in there. So he is a psychopathic killer. He needs to kill.
Yeah. So, that's his thing, is that he gets
so
off.
I mean, he's not going to. Yeah, I mean, this is what gives him a hard on. You know, he needs to kill.
When someone surprises you with a free Domino's, dude, you're just like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the thing is, like, okay, so it's partially believable that Kyle would go back in the house looking for stuff, you know? When, again, like you said, she's a troubled teen, and she's bouncing around from foster home to foster home.
Yeah, exactly. What is she going to go to the cops? I mean, the cops were, you know, the cops were just there. Oh, my God, it's true. They're okay. Okay, lady. It's like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back into the house, but, I mean, I wouldn't, like, what are you going to, you're going to be homeless now, you know?
No, but it's just assumed belief.
She's going to sleep in the backyard because he's alive.
Well, this is 1990. So it's 1990, so it's just as easily believable she goes to a payphone with a quarter, calls her boyfriend, gets picked up, and does whatever the fuck for the rest of her life. But at the same time, okay, so I got no problem with that. She goes back in the house. She goes looking around all the
time. Are you saying that before someone does, you know, something dumb, they should, like, think about all their options?
No, it's just like I would.
You're not saying that.
No, it's I would believe she'd do that. But okay, like okay, I believe that she'll go back to the house and look around. That's fine. But then I just feel like the struggle fight scene she has with Chucky, it doesn't get you that precipice moment where she barely survives and barely somehow fights it off. I felt like it was too easy of a struggle with her. Like, you know.
She was 17. She's 17 years old. She doesn't exactly come across as like
Chris wants like a Scarface type like action scene, you know, where, you know, she's selling, he's selling, and it's like it's Chucky, and you know, we're on the sequel, and he's like, I didn't believe it, but
I think at this point Chucky's already like having one step ahead.
Did you know we're watching a Child's Play movie, or were you looking for believability? I mean, what kind of film did you think we were watching?
No, I'm looking for a scene where he's really, really got her, like, oh, she can't come back from this, and somehow, some way, she gets out of it, but then he gets back up to her again. That's what I'm thinking.
It's a Chucky movie. Like, if you want to
go for something that's not so believable, you have to be focusing on Andy. Things that kid is going through is ridiculous for him to survive this long and even get to the point where Chucky finally succeeds, where he gets them all alone and he says, okay, we're going to play this game called Hide the Soul. Let's do this. So he says the magic words, thunderstorms are brewing. There goes the thunder and the lightning. It's happening. This is it. Oh, I took too long. Do you believe the amount of luck that he is having?
Yeah.
He's just like, man, I'm having a damn good day, you know? Shit.
I love that whole ending thing.
The doll factory scenes were excellent, I thought. I thought it was excellent. I thought they did that great. I'm only talking about in the house with Kyle, but once you get to the doll factory, I thought that was done very well. And I love that. And, like, to this day, I still remember
to this day.
To this day, I still remember the fucking the air tube going in his mouth, and even after he's like,
he takes a good ass whooping, man. He's like you know, you and me with ex girlfriends, dude. Jesus Christ, we're resilient as a motherfucker. He comes back from what? Do you remember exactly an order game? I know he goes there. He's like, I fucking love everything that he says in that whole ending. Like, I'm gonna be jumping around, but he's all like. He's like, no, you know, I'm too late or whatever the fuck. But like after all that bullshit, he's all like, you know what I'm gonna do to you, Andy? I'm gonna chop your legs off too. I started laughing.
I love that part too. Yeah. Man.
He's like dragging on this little thing, and he's got like a knife. You know what I'm gonna do? Like, and that's that Brad Dourif that he's really fucking angry.
I shit you not, man. I kid you not. Like, throughout this whole thing, like, right there in the beginning, like, he does the whole spell thing. It doesn't work. And he's, like, all pissed off. Kyle's at the top of this stack of Chucky dolls, and she pushes them all on him. You hear him, what the hell? Yeah. And it
popped on him.
Oh, I kid you not. This was so intense.
Yeah.
It was so intense. He goes ahead and he busts through all those boxes and he's just yelling.
That's right.
Oh, man, that was intense.
Like he's right in a like Lord of the Rings battle, right? He's just like yelling and shit.
Yeah, it was just that epic. And I was like, oh my God, this guy is pissed. Now they have a reason to run because this guy is just overall.
Yeah.
You know, in this whole damn warehouse, come to think of it, this whole damn warehouse should have cameras. What the hell? They're not keeping track of, like...
Can you imagine how badass Part 3 would have been if they would have? Like, they're like, there's the doll. There's some... Like, I don't know how. I mean, just you saying that, it's like, can you... That's a really, really good idea that they actually capture that battle on scene. They capture that battle on camera, and then, like, they're like, oh, shit, they work off of that. Because, like... They melt, you know, fuck, well, he gets thrown into the fucking, you know, gimmick, and he gets, like, the arms and legs punched through him, and he gets ripped in half, and then he gets melted, you know, and he's got the knife in the hand, I mean, like, and then blown up. I mean, Chucky takes an ass-whooping, dude. That's a hardcore match.
Beyond an ass-whooping.
Man, he's chasing after Andy with that damn knife, and then he gets his hand stuck on that, that gate that blocks.
Yes.
So he rips his own hand off. So he rips his own hand off, and he's like, "Oh shit! Well, I have this knife. Well, you know, bread and butter. You know, life gives you lemonade. You know, lemons and all that."
And then when he puts his hand in the knife, dude. When he, like you said, like he like gimmicks his own hand. Oh my God! And he tapes it. He forgot the duct tape.
But he's after he's done and he duct tapes it, the coolest part was he looks at it like, oh, I hate kids. He's all so satisfied.
I hate kids. That's right, dude. Like, everything about that ending scene is just like, you know, like, I know we just watched Mortal Kombat, you know? It was a great film, but man, Chucky knows how to put on a fucking performance, dude. Now, that's a motherfucker that can sell, dude.
Yeah.
That motherfucker just keep, like, just when you thought it was over, he keeps on. He's like, hey, Andy, I was only playing. When he's going back up that, like, rotary girder gimmick bullshit, whatever the fuck it is. And it's fucking, like, he goes in there, and he's like, ah! You hear him getting, like, the shit?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of curious, though. Like, seriously, like, through this whole thing, I would have been kind of panicking. And I would have probably just been knocking boxes over until I found like some kind of way out or something. I would have been knocking all these stacks over at some point or another just to make a damn mess. But I don't know, what would you all have done if you were stuck in that damn maze? Would you have been like yelling the whole time, like trying to get someone's attention? Because remember, there's a security guard there and there was a technician there that he goes and ends up trying to fix the damn machine that ends up getting out of a place there.
Yeah, I guess the eyes bunched, you know, smashing his head. I would have ran out. I would have scraped. Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. It's my bad.
I would have been yelling, but at the same time, like, what are you really going to do? Like, at the same time, you can yell. How quick is a security guard going to get to you? And at the same time, if you run through these dolls, what are you going to run into when you run past the doll box? Like, they're going through a maze, and I sympathize with them. Like, you don't know where you're going, or you're just trying to get out however the fuck you've got to get out, and I sympathize with them. But what I remember from being like, what, 11, 12 years old watching this, is seeing like he's got fucking little fucking Andy on the ground. He's got his eyes closed, and he's got the knife in hand, and the clouds are converging over this factory. And then something happens, and the clouds disappear, and they move back. And he looks again, and he tries to get the spell going again, and it's just the clouds. They show you this. I love that they show you this from outside the factory. The clouds don't come back.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, come to think of it, you know what would have been a cool idea? It, you know, say you're lost in that maze and you're having trouble getting out. What you could have done if you were in Kyle's case. Remember, Kyle is a smoker. Shouldn't she have a damn lighter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
why didn't she just set the whole place on fire? I'm like, you know what? Fuck this place. You know, I need to get someone's damn attention. Oh, then again, you know, in case if Chucky decides to run away, you know, damn police officers come and get her and lock her ass up, charging her for millions.
And it's not like she's she's a 29-year-old black guy with a sweatshirt on who gets approached by a customs agent, you know, and says, "How does a black man like me get in here and has a match? It's got to be a match, for Christ's sake."
Only Chris.
Beverly Hills Cop reference. Anyway, so and when they go up this roller pin thing. You know why this stuff got me back?
That's what I gotta work with, kid.
When I was a kid and now, like, this roller pin thing that they're climbing up, it stuck with me because I had a friend, he was my brother's age, and we were at the church one time for, like, a Boy Scouts thing, and these dumbasses were doing this thing where there was a slide like that that had those roller pins like that, and they were being dumbasses climbing up it, and one of them, his name was Thomas DeVries, he climbed up it and slipped and chipped his front tooth on the thing. And he had these, like, super strict German parents that were, like, fucking hardcore strict about everything. I was like, oh, shit, he's never going to hear the end of this.
Okay, that's a great Child's Play reference. I knew a guy with red hair. That's it. That's the Child's Play 2 review. Anyway,
yeah, my aunt had a doll. Looked like
I'm telling you. You think I'm kidding? There he goes. Go ahead. Tell the Child's Play 2 doll.
It was the 70s thing. Had the overalls. Had the red shirt. Same hair. Everything. And I just remember when they would show Child's Play on USA. I'm like, fuck. How the fuck did she get this doll?
Anyway, before Chris takes over, you know what's kind of sad on this film, like, from, like, because I watched it a few times, is when they're fucking leaving the factory, and she's like, "Let's go home, Andy," you know, and he's like, "Where's home?" He's like, you know, whatever the fuck, and he's like, "Oh, you know, I don't know," and I'm like, "Man, that's pretty fucked up."
Yeah, it's like they can't go back because there's, like, dead bodies, and you can only imagine what's going to end up happening. They'll get thrown back into the whole foster thing. I think they kind of had it planned out, like, or I think as kids, they don't know what to do, and they just kind of, they kind of figure out, like, you know, what the adults would do, throw them back into the system, charge them for murder, who knows what. So I think their whole idea is, like, well, let's just kind of wander off, and then we'll just play it by ear. I bet you anything, she called that boyfriend up, or she called one of her friends.
Yeah.
Just so, she did say she had to work. Do y'all remember?
She's like, that's 3 nights in a row. He's like, well, I'm going to be on my own soon, you know?
Yeah, but, right. So she has, like, a good stack of money so they can survive until she gets, like, a part-time job. But you know they're going to track them down, but them being kids, they don't know any better.
Oh, they do. On part three, spoiler alert for those listening, part three, he ends up in a fucking military school, but the thing is, it's a cold ending. Like, you know, it's just them walking out of the factory not knowing exactly what they're going to do or where they're going to go. It's not an elaborate ending, but the thing is, like,
That was the most crazy ass ending of all time. It's like they had to end it on, I don't know what's going to happen next. Fuck it.
Yeah. That's how they end it. It's not an elaborative ending. It's just them out of harm's way. They're walking out of the factory, and that's it. And then we know because we've seen part three where it goes. But it just it's that was a little bit of a disappointment.
You know, if you stop to think about it, through not just Child's Play 2, like on that ending, but there's like so many other horror movies out there that kind of leave you like in that kind of awkward feeling where, okay, we beat the bad guy, we trapped the devil, we beat Pinhead. Okay, what do we do now? I don't know.
Yeah.
Our whole goal right here was just to survive. So we did. So, yeah. Well, we can't tell the police about it. They're going to think we're stupid or crazy. You know, we killed Freddy Krueger, you know, or we killed Jason. These characters were blah, blah, blah. Now, they ain't going to believe that. How do you explain some kind of paranormal activity, especially with this, like, in a situation like this with the damn doll? How do you explain about things like this without no proof, saying, like, you know, it? And also, come to think of it, they killed Chucky, and there was all that blood. You would think, like, forensics or somebody would come in and start wanting to test that blood. It has to be Charles Lee Ray's blood, right? Or is this a whole new type of blood?
It has to be Charles Lee Ray or some black guy from Chicago, dude. One of the two.
I think he's a black guy. I don't know. You know, the police are, like, willing to just go ahead and
fabricate evidence.
Incidents and stuff, so it could be that. I bet you.
It's either Charles Lee Ray or some random black guy. I mean, I don't see how anybody else is gonna, you know, talk us out of that one. Anyway, Christopher J, I want you to go ahead and give us your overall thoughts and rating on this bad boy, dude.
Oh, I'm gonna rate this one a 9 out of 10 because honestly, it's just if nothing else, like I can watch it now and give my, you know, over intellectualized criticism of it, but honestly, the fact that I saw it in my youth, and the fact that I still remember to this day going to the dentist's office and thinking to myself, because she had like a little, you know, and y'all remember going to the dentist when they'd have to like put the air tube in you to suck out like the spit and whatever, and like thinking to myself, man, that reminds me of that little tube they put in Chucky's mouth and his head exploded. Thinking of that the very next day, being amazed at the fucking clouds converging over the factory and all that shit, being amazed at, you know, this poor kid being in this terrible situation with these foster parents, like one of the two parents didn't really like him, and teenage girl didn't really like him, and all of a sudden getting bullied at school, and the teacher didn't like him. Like, my God, that movie had such an impact on me at age, what, 11, 12, whatever the fuck. I'm going to rate it a 9. I don't care how intellectual I can get with the review of it or how it's literary or whatever. I'm going to give it a 9.
All right, Gabe. Cool. Your turn.
Well, same thing here. I can give all my intellectual thoughts on this, but I'm going to go ahead and give this a straight out 9.5. Part one was definitely by far like one of my favorite movies. If I'm trapped on an island with only certain movies that I can watch over and over, Child's Play Part 1 is definitely one of them. Part 2, definitely a damn close second. It's really freaking awesome. I enjoyed the characters. I met the actor and the actress. Really awesome people. It just made me enjoy it more. I grew up with this damn movie. You know, I'm 9.5, man. I'm sticking with it. That's a badass freaking movie.
Yeah.
I'm jealous that you met these actors.
Huh?
I'm jealous you met these fucking actors. I kind of want to meet them too now.
Oh, man, they're great people. You know, Alex Vincent had came down to San Antonio during this whole kind of COVID thing. More recently, he was at a drive-thru, like those drive-ins, and they were doing like a little meet and greet. But I had already met him prior to that. It was like about 2 or 3 years ago. He was doing Frightmare Weekend in Dallas. It's a horror convention. And they actually had the whole Chucky cast, even Catherine Hicks, you know, the one who plays Andy's mom from part one. She was even there, you know, but I know her from Seventh Heaven, but I also know her from,
yeah.
I also know her
man,
from
that's some WB shit right there, man.
Oh, I know. I like those WB TV shows, you know, like The Flash and all them. They're so cheesy, but they're pretty fun to watch sometimes. They're pretty good. You know, you ain't got nothing else to watch. Throw WB on. Why not? Get a good laugh. But, yeah, that's where I met them from. They're really cool people. They're really nice. The more popular ones, like Brad Dourif, he's got a long line. You don't really get to chat with them, so I didn't really get to have any kind of conversation with them. But the other ones definitely made time for each person. They were just like, they were really cool, really neat people to talk with. So I was like, man, that, you know, they made you feel like you were like, you know, you already knew it for a while. Oh, yeah, why don't you come over to my booth and we'll talk about things. And I was like, oh, man, that's neat. Oh, that's awesome. Cool. So, yeah, they're really neat. So, yeah.
That's badass, man. Yeah. Yeah, for me, I mean, I love this film. I used to actually like this one more. I think I talked about it earlier, more than part one, but... Now, part one is my favorite, so, like, I mean, I give part one, you know, like a 10 out of 10. But this one, yeah, it'd be like a 9 out of 10. It's a whole lot of fun. It's, you know, it's not as suspenseful as the first one. It's just fun. Like, Terminator 1 and 2, Alien and Aliens, like, whatever. Some people are going to like, you know, one over the other because of those different reasons, and I can understand that. You got, you know, Alien that's suspenseful. Part two more fun, Terminator, you know, suspenseful. Part two a lot more action. This one, a lot more action. But I've always kind of been a more suspense kind of guy over action for the most part. That's why I give part one the nod. But this one, yeah, I mean it's awesome. I can always throw it on, like you said, dude. Like I'd rather watch part one more. But I don't mind this one either at all. You know, it's like, okay, you know, it's Terminator 1 and 2, you know, they're both really good. For me, I'd rather watch part 1 just because I like the music tone. I notice little things like the music cues here and there, like the same way with Chucky 1, like so badass. But, yeah, I mean, I've been watching this one since I was a kid. It's like one of those films that I've watched, I mean, at least 50 times, which is kind of ridiculous, you know what I mean? Because anybody watches any film, but I've watched it at least 50 times, along with like Freddy 4 and 5. I just, those films where I enjoyed them, I just always wanted to watch them, you know? And they're fun. And I think for people, I think that's why I liked it more as a kid now than I do as an adult, is that when you're a kid, like for me, it's ridiculous now, but it's like I liked Freddy 4 and 5 more than any of the other Freddies because they were more fun and stupid. You know, now I'm like, man, I'm not going to watch those that, you know, at all, if you know, just once every 2 or 3 years. And your taste kind of, you know, changed. Like now I always watch 1, 2, or 3 and that's it. And I'll watch like 4 and 5. With the Chucky films, this one still holds up, which is crazy. You know what I mean? I'm like, wow, this one's really good. Because compared to, I mean, I think what it is after you see, like, you know, Chucky 3, Bride of Chucky and shit like that, Seed of Chucky, Gabe's favorite. Sure. You're like, wow, dude, those first two Chucky movies, son of a bitch. I actually really like Curse of Chucky. I think that one's really good. I can't wait to, because Chris hasn't seen any of them past, I guess, what, Seed, Chris? What's the last one you watched?
Okay, Part 3 was the last one I saw until you got to that 2017 Netflix one, which I watched the first half of, and I was like, fuck this.
Oh, that's the bunch of Chucky. Yeah, that's Colt, right? Yeah, no, I like Curse. Curse is really good, at least for me, but we'll see. Anyway.
It was just that, like, I didn't get what the point of the 2017 Netflix one was. It's like, okay, he's reduced to nothing but just a talking head with burn marks on
him. Chris. we'll get to it when we get to it. We can't get let you off that easy, kid. Hey, since we're doing like short gimmicks, I think we should do like part 3 next, right? And then probably like Leprechaun 1 and 2 or something ridiculous to keep the, you know, the momentum going with, you know, not a consistent series. Cause me and the guys we talked, we're like, mm-hmm. We can't just do, like, I don't want to plow through the Child's Play series because, like, I like part 3 if I'm just watching part 3 and then, like, I'm done. I don't have to watch Bride of Chucky and then watch Seed of Chucky and then watch, you know, Curse. I don't think I would like Curse of Chucky as much as I'm saying I do now after watching like a few other Chucky films prior to this, like week four of Chucky. Like, nah. So I think it's like, hey, it's good to do like a back-to-back one and then say, hey, okay, let's go do something else really quick for maybe one, two, three, four, five, whatever it is, whatever we feel like. That's how we're breaking them up.
That sounds pretty good, actually. You know, I love the whole Phantasm series, well, except for part four. But, I mean, man, we were doing them back-to-back, and that was a little bit long. So
It makes it drag.
Yeah, I think you have it. Yeah, I think you had the right idea. You know, do maybe one and two and then throw an oddball in there. Hey, you know, we're going to do Children of the Corn next or, you know, or The Howling.
Candyman,
you know,
yeah, Candyman, The Howling, yeah. Because it like, exactly like you had just said, like Phantasm. I love Phantasm. And I guarantee you, probably not, I would have liked part four a lot more or even five a lot more if I didn't watch – you know, two, three, four, and it's like, okay, I've watched, okay, like, you know, if I want to watch part two, and then say Puppet Master, and then Puppet Master 2, and then, like, you know, Leprechaun, and then, oh, you know what, damn, Phantasm 3 was pretty good, you know, like, I would have liked it even more than I did, that, you know, and then four, like, take a break, but when you're doing, like, you're running through them all, dude, you're like, okay, dude, I mean, like, even Phantasm, Puppet Master, like, I like those films, but I am not going to go watch all whatever 12 of those fucking films in a row. The fuck, no goddamn way. Ain't no fucking way, you know? So, yeah, I like breaking it up. We'll do two, at the most three in a row. And, like, I had told Gabe, I was like, when we did the Halloween, I was like, when we got to part six, I was already, like, mentally, like, checked out. I was like, dude. You know, and then I think me and Chris did H2O, and I think we were supposed to do Resurrection, but something happened with the audio, so we didn't get to do H2O. So when you get to do the whole Halloween series, we'll do the same thing with this one. We'll talk about the first couple of films once we do Halloween H2O. But
yeah, let's definitely bring in Gabe for H2O. We did H2O, and then something fucked up with the file. So yeah, let's bring in Gabe for H2O, and you know, we needed a break, so.
I bet you, like, I still laugh at it, but I bet you now, or whenever we do it again, when I go to H2O, I'll like it a lot better than watching Halloween 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then go to H2O. Okay, H2O sucks. I was all, like, pissed by that point. So, anyways.
I guess we're going to all enjoy the conversation of LL Cool J and H2O, huh?
Well, reading those novellas and shit, whatever the fuck he's doing, right? And then he touched her voluptuous breast. Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Chris?
The most laid-back college gate security guard ever.
I know. Oh,
that is so great.
And then Ethan Zobel from Sons of Anarchy being the dean of the school.
Oh, that's right. He's a white supremacist guy, right? I was like, Zobel. Oh, yeah. Anyway. Hey, Chris, I hope you guys enjoyed this one, and we'll see y'all on the next one.
Man, you gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong.